Yeah, shall we just pray, girls? Yeah, we just, do you want to stand maybe and just let's put our hands up. We just thank you, Jesus. We've come to meet you this morning. We've come here because we love you. We've come here because we want to know more about you. And we've come here, Lord Jesus, because we know the word of God affects our hearts and transforms us. And so we've come here just to receive, by the power of the Spirit, just all that you've got to say to us in depth, Lord, this morning. And we just say, as ladies, we just want to respond to what you're doing. As ladies, we want to respond to your word. And we just say the challenges that you put before us in Scripture, we want to take up. The promises that you tell us, we want to take hold of this morning. And we want to be a people and ladies that believe the word of God to be real and living and active in our lives. We just pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you want to sit down. So I'm going to read from Colossians 1. Is that Emily in disguise? Oh dear. It says this. I won't read I just want to take one verse, which is verse 13, but I'm going to read from 9. So it's Paul really saying that he's been praying for this church, and this is what he says. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that is the verse that I want us to concentrate on this morning. So what, if you're writing notes, this is what I would like you to write at the top. That we have been delivered and transferred. And it's really a very important thing as ladies that we understand, just as people of God that we understand, what it means to be delivered and transferred. And so it's delivered out of this darkness. And it means to be liberated and rescued. And transferred means to be moved and to be put into a different place. And so you understand when we have the gospel, when we hear the gospel of good news, that's what Jesus does for us when he died on the cross. He delivered us from all the domain of darkness. And this is what a domain means. In the Greek, it means this. It means coming from all power and authority and strength. And so Jesus, what he did on the cross for us, he brought us out, he delivered us from this place of being under all the power and the authority and the strength of the enemy. So that's what he did. Because I want you to know the importance of it and the weight of what Jesus did on the cross. So he did that and he came to forgive our sins. And we needed a saviour because God the Father could not look on us. And we hadn't access right into that Holy of Holies until Jesus came and died on that cross. The perfect sinless one who died for us to forgive us from everything that we'd ever done. And we needed a saviour. And we needed rescuing. We absolutely needed rescuing. And if you think about your salvation is just what you can get from God, you're coming with all the wrong motives and the wrong place. It's about what Jesus has done on the cross, that he has forgiven you your sins. That's first and foremost. And everything else will fall into place if you understand the weight and the enormity of being delivered from the domain of darkness. So you've been delivered right from that place where you've been under the authority and the strength of darkness, and you've been transferred. And we've been radically, I want to tell you this, we have been radically moved. So we've been radically moved and radically removed. So we've been radically removed from darkness and radically moved into the kingdom of God. So obviously you all will know these scriptures. Colossians speaks about it, that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He's moved us from this place that we were under into the heavenly places with him, where we're seated, where we're living. And we are children of the living God, and we are heirs, and we've been adopted, and we've been redeemed and forgiven. And so we've been placed in this place that of a different atmosphere to the world, a different atmosphere in our thinking. And what it actually does when we understand the importance of this, what God has done for us, you can never, I want to say this to you seriously, you can never be the same again. So when you understand the weight of the cross, understand the weight of what Jesus has done for you, understand this weight of your sins being forgiven and you being removed from darkness, you will never be the same again. You will never think the same again. You will never act the same again. But the important thing that I want to say to you today is that how do we keep on living as women? And if you're listening to this, there might be some men listening to it. But how do we keep living in the victory of what Jesus did for us? Because we are living in kind of sinister, dark times where the enemy, and we're living in battles, and where the enemy is still raging around, he's still up to mischief. I'll read you Ephesians 6 in a minute. And so we're just living in these dark days, and the Bible tells us that we are. And all the time, there is a thing that the enemy does. He tries to deceive us, and he tries to destroy and sabotage our faith. And that's what he wants to do all the time. So he tries to get into our heads, and you will understand this. You will massively understand this. If we understand the battle is always in the mind, the struggles are always in the head. Our personal battles always start with our minds going off track. And when the enemy, and he comes in very subtle ways, and that's how we can get deceived, he comes very subtly. So I was just thinking about, I'd not written this down, but I was thinking this morning about David. And I think it says in, I think it's in 1 Samuel 11. And it says something like this: and when men should have gone to battle, David stays at home. And when men were doing one thing somewhere, the enemy had deceived David to be not in the right place where he should have been. And so he should have been going out to battle, and he was at home. And when he was at home, there what he did was he spied Bathsheba. And there the sin started, in the deception of his eyes gazing at the wrong thing. And that's what can happen to us. Don't think it can happen. It doesn't have to be about sexual sin. It doesn't have to be about those things. But when our eyes and our gaze get off the wrong thing that God has called over our life and what God has called us to be, when the enemy deceives us to be not in the right place at the right time, and we end up doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, there's a deception that comes, and we can easily get deceived. I don't say that to you lightly, because I believe that we can all be deceived, and that's why we need one another. We need accountability. We need each other to strengthen each other and to pray for one another, like Paul did. He said, I was praying for the church. I was praying for this spiritual knowledge of Jesus Christ and this wisdom over you, that you may stay rooted and grounded in Christ. I mean, he says it all the time to the churches, because the enemy just comes subtly, and he'll just give you something in it. And he says, like, you know, it is okay to do that. And the next thing, you've gone down a slippery slope for us all. And I want to say to you, do not do this thing. And I really want to stamp it down. I was speaking to some people last night about this. Do not look with your religious eyes at anybody. Please do not do that. Do not look with your religious, judgmental, uncompassionate eyes at anybody. Because the truth is that we can all stumble. We can all fall. We can all get taken out at times. And we need the grace of the Saviour who comes continuously. So this is who our God is. So he continually He loved us and he continues to love us. He poured grace out on us when he died on the cross, and he continues to pour grace on us. He gave us mercy at the cross, but he continues to be merciful to us. He delivered us, and he continues to deliver us. And I want you to understand that so importantly. He continues to deliver us. You only have to read some of the Psalms that you hear David say, and he is talking about, yes, God, come and deliver me. Deliver me out of the miry pit. Deliver me from this place. So we all have these atmospheres somewhere for us all, of these dark days. And sometimes we can sense it, we can see it, and we can feel it. And sometimes, we can even see it in relationships. There's something not quite right, and the atmosphere seems dark. You don't know what it is, but you can't just put your finger on it, but you sense that there's some darkness somewhere. You see it sometimes in your families, sometimes when your families aren't Christians. You hear the things they say, and you know the enemy is luring them deeper and deeper into darkness. I know those things because one of my sons is not a Christian, and I can hear the frustration and the things that he's saying, and my heart of compassion goes out to him. And you, lots of you, have not Christian families, and you can hear and you can sense that darkness, which is, it is sinister, and it's going on, and it lures them into such depression and darkness and feeling that they don't know who they are. But we do know who we are in Jesus Christ. We do know what God has done for us. And so, but we're not exempt. That's what I want to tell you. So we still have these personal and inner battles. And for some people, it comes with fears and it comes with anxieties. For some people, it comes with depressed states. For some people, it just comes in many ways. It comes in like temptations to do things that you know that you, the Bible says you're not to do. And I want to talk today just how we stay in these places. So I'm not telling you there's darkness looming and there's these things happening. I want to give you the truth of Scripture, of what it says that we can do. Because that's who God is. He's a God who rescues, and he's a God with the answers. And the Word of God has got every answer to every problem that we're going through. I just want to say to you, there's so many lazy Christians. I just want to say that to you. There's so many lazy Christians about that. If all the answers are in the Word of God, why wouldn't you read it? Why wouldn't you pick this Bible up and read what is the answer and what are the promises and what is the truth over your life? Why wouldn't you read it? Because everything in here, it's got the answer to every issue, to every problem, to every solution that you need, to every bit of direction. And why people don't go searching it and seeking God? Because he can be found. It can be found. Every time you read it, if you ask the Holy Spirit, please tell me, please instruct me, please instruct my heart through this Scripture as I read it, you will find the answer. Because God is not somebody who hides himself, and he's there for us. And so this is what it says in the armour of God. It says, finally, in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, and this is what he's talking about, these dark days. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not in our might, because we sometimes are very weak. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So people have, I've spoke about this many times, people have got very superstitious about putting the armour on, as if they have to say, I've got to get it on from head to toe, and if I don't get it on, something bad's going to happen to me. A load of rubbish. This, it's like saying the Lord's Prayer. He's telling you through the armour that he speaks about, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. What he's telling you about is the gospel message. He's saying, put it on, pray it in, believe it every day. That's who you are. That's what he's saying through this scripture. It's not some ritualistic, weird thing to do every day. And if you don't do it, something bad's going to happen to you. It's just praying it on and believing it every day. And you should pray it in your prayers anyway, as you're praying every day, which you should do every day as well. And then it says, so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So if you find that you're coming with difficulty with somebody and you feel the darkness in somebody, remember, it's not them, it's the enemy working through them. Have some mercy and some kindness for people. It's not the people, they're just being used by the enemy. And so we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, it says, take up the whole armour of God. And it goes through this. And it says, having done all, to be able to stand firm. And so there's somewhere, and it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Massive stuff. If you're going through darkness, the biggest warfare that you will ever do is prayers and praying. So if you're feeling like the enemy's like having a go at you, if you feel like the darkness is pressing in, that there's some keys in here, praise God and pray in. Praise God for the gospel. Praise God for what he's done. Praise God that he's rescued you from the domain of darkness. And say, God, today, I want to keep living in that place, because it's only us that choose to believe the lies of the enemy. And we all do it. Don't think that we don't do it. We all sometimes do it. We believe it. It comes to whisper a little lie to make us feel insecure about ourselves, to say the promises of God that he's promised over your life are not true. Well, they're not happening. Look, they're not happening. It isn't coming to pass what somebody said over you. So what we do, we doubt, and then we go down. And then we come under the strength and the authority of the enemy. Well, who wants to do that here? Because I certainly don't. We're coming under the authority and the atmosphere of Christ Jesus, who says, I've transferred you into the kingdom of my Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where we belong, and that's where we live from, and that's where we should be governed in our minds from. And it all comes back to the Word of God. So I have come all right off my notes, and who cares? And so let me tell you, if you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, if you allow the Holy Spirit access, I just want to put something right and really help you with this. So, I am somebody who harps on about the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. And I'm sure somewhere I really rack people off. So I go on about it in every prayer. I talk about it all the time. But I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died for us, that God, in his absolute glory, did the first thing with us. We didn't do anything, but he got hold of our heart of stone and he turned it into a heart of flesh. We heard the gospel, so God, that was God's work over our lives. We heard the gospel, and then what happened to us? We responded in repentance and faith. And then obviously you understand about justification. If you don't, you need to go read about it. And then we are justified, the sanctification, our walking it out with Jesus Christ. And all the time, it's an application that Jesus started to do first and foremost with our heart. And it is a continuation all the way through our Christian life, is that we have to address our hearts. Our hearts get so deceived. The Bible tells us that we get so deceived. And it's not navel gazing. It's not, oh, I need to look at my heart. All you need to do is read the Word of God. That's all you need to do, and the Holy Spirit will tell you if you are open to apply it to your heart. He will tell you the thing that you need to change. And it's not you need to go woeful. You don't go down. But I'll tell you something. Somebody who does heart work, somebody who looks at their own hearts, do you know what they do? They stay in God's presence and they stay in God's power. And you come straight out of those places if you don't keep checking and seeing where your heart is and asking God to examine your heart. Because it can get very deceitful. And so I will continue to say it, no matter how much I rack everybody off, about the heart, the heart, the heart. Because when you stand at Judgment Day, the only one thing that Jesus will be looking at is not what's going on the outside of you, not whether you've been tattooed from head to toe, not whether, like some people say, you can't have a tattoo, you can't do this, you can't do that, all about these exterior things of the body. He's looking at the heart. That's what he's looking, right at your heart. And you will be judged, and don't think you won't be judged, because you will be judged when you stand before the Lord. You will be judged on your heart, on how you've lived, how you've loved. That's what you'll be judged on. You won't be judged on your sin, so don't start that kind of going all woeful, I need to get this sorted out, because you're not going to be perfect this side of heaven, I'm telling you. Absolutely, truthfully. Scripture tells me specifically that you will not be perfect this side of heaven. Nobody will be. And so we have the perfect righteousness of Jesus that covers us, so we can go right into the throne room of the Father. But there's this work of sanctification, our cooperating with the Holy Spirit, that is not perfect yet. So we have the perfect righteousness of Jesus on the one hand, but we have to work at our sanctification with the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful work. Lots of churches do not talk about it. You go in and you go out. There's nothing you need to do, but there's plenty that you need to do, because you only read the Bible and it tells you, stop doing this, don't do that. And we need to check ourselves sometimes, because we just end up doing it. But the most wonderful thing, and my other hobby horse, keep close to Jesus. Keep close to Jesus. If you keep abiding him, if you continue in the word, that's what John 8 says. If you are my disciples, this is what it said, you will abide, or it says you will continue in my word. And so you will keep the word of God in your heart, and you will keep applying it to your heart all the time and your life. And let me tell you, we're going to do this thing, all of us. We're going to make the church, Jesus said to me one day, beautify my beautiful house. And do you know how we beautify his beautiful house? Just by loving him. Not by these perfect people, but just by loving him and responding when the Holy Spirit says something to you, to do what he says. That's how you beautify Jesus' beautiful house. And so, you need to have a soft heart. So when God just started saying this to me one day, he just said, there's so many people, and I will be speaking about this next week, there's so many people that bypass the heart. So you can bypass the heart, and God showed me why people bypass the heart. And that's what I'm saying, we shouldn't judge people, and we shouldn't be judgmental over people, because people bypass the heart for some very broken reasons. And so I felt that God showed me graciously that sometimes in life, because life, there's so many traumas in life, that sometimes people have some seasons and some times in their lives where it's been emotionally traumatic. That's all I can say, emotionally traumatic. And when I'm speaking to you, the Holy Spirit will say some things to you. I know this in my spirit, even as I'm saying this, because if he does, you must respond today to sort this out. And so subconsciously or consciously, we say to ourselves, I'm never going there again. I'm never going to that emotional place where it was so overwhelming. I'm never going there again. And what we do is we put like this spiritual death over our lives. Because like I'm saying, if you do not allow the Holy Spirit to connect with your heart and let Jesus do what he needs to do with your heart, you lose all your sense of God's presence and lose all your sense of God's power over your life. And it's a very tragic thing. And so when the Holy Spirit is saying, that is you, you had such an emotional trauma in your life at that time, but what you've started to do, you've started to bypass your heart to go straight to your head all the time. So it's like a head knowledge. You know the Bible, you know what it says, and you can pray the word of God in, and it's always in your head, but it never drops here to your heart. And that's a danger. It really is a danger. And so really be careful of that today, and be careful. And if you've said those things, you need to just to confess to God, God, I've said those things, or I've felt that way, and I've done this thing and I've bypassed my heart. So it's just affecting my head all the time. It's the head knowledge, but it's not resonating in my heart somewhere. So, you know, there's always a way out with God. God never, ever condemns us. There's always a way out. He always gives us the rescue plan, because he's the deliverer. He's deliverer us out of darkness. And so the last thing that I just want to say is that the more we behold Jesus, truly this, the more we behold him as our greatest treasure. So we can hold this Bible up. I can hold this wonderful book up today because I love it, and it's absolutely dropping to pieces, my Bible. I can hold this book up and I can say with all my heart that it's spoken truth that has radically transformed my life. It's spoken truth to heal me, to deliver me, to set me free. But most of all, it shouted Jesus to me. Most of all, it shouted the Father's love to me. Most of all, it's told me who Holy Spirit is. And most of all, I've understood the cross through every page of it. And so the most important thing for me as I worship and as I adore Jesus is that I'm always worshiping him because of the cross, because of his, that he forgave my sins and that he did deliver me. But in here is every ounce of direction, every solution, and every answer for your life. If only you'd pick it up and read it. If only you'd go search the scriptures. If only when you don't understand something, you'd come and ask somebody, or you'd look it up and you'd go digging in it. Because what people do is they start to read it and they say, well, I just don't understand it. So they just put it down. That's not a way. That's no way to live the Christian life. That's not what we do. We ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate it to us. And the more you do this, the more you get this word into your life, the more the enemy will become weaker and weaker, and the more that Jesus will become stronger and stronger over what the enemy is saying over your life. And so take hold of that, ladies, today. I have not spoke an absolute diddly squat from them notes. So, hallelujah. God just knows what he wants to do on the day. I just think, Holy Spirit, I'll just listen to you. I don't even know why I write anything down. It's just ridiculous. So let's do this thing. Maybe we'll just have a bit of time. And Sonia will put some worship on. Oh, I did write something down, which was important. Because this very important thing that I felt God was saying about... you know when I said that sometimes we get these personal battles that are going on, these wars that are raging on in our mind? And can I turn that off, son?